by God. Isn't it great that God loves you, each and every one of us, and how passionate God is for us? I'm glad you're here. Anybody else have a great week? I had a great week. I started the week off here Sunday morning. Love the place. Love being here. Love being with you. I love you guys. And then Disneyland with the corn dogs Sunday night. Can you ask for anything better than that? You know, I love those corn dogs, homemade corn dogs at Disneyland. You know, two relaxing days. And Wednesday back up here, Wednesday night Bible study, Thursday sermon preparation, Awana meeting Thursday night. Then we had a great VBS conference yesterday as we're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. And we trained workers from Calvary and Word and Turlock, and we had a great time there. And now it's Sunday morning. Man, God is good. You know, God is so good. I started this series called Snapchat with Jesus. What would it have been like if they had a smartphone when they were following Jesus? What would it have been like if they were walking around, Peter and Andrew and Nathaniel and Thomas and all of them had smartphones? What kind of things would they Snapchat? What kind of things might they do with their smartphone? Maybe Peter would send this from last week. Remember we talked about last week? Maybe Peter would send a Snapchat like this from last week. Remember, Jesus walks up to Peter and says, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Maybe Andrew, his brother, who had to find two guys who had to find this little boy who had a sack lunch to feed 10,000 plus people. Maybe he would have sent this picture out that last week. Maybe you would have got something like this. You know, and hey, fed 10,000 people today. You know, as he fed those 5,000 men. Now, when it says 5,000, it was 5,000 men. That means 21 years of age and older. More than likely married, so there's 10,000. If anybody had kids, you're talking, you know, 12, 15,000 people he fed. Or maybe you get one like this from Thomas, okay? Maybe you get something like this from Thomas. The guy actually walked. Remember, Jesus walks up and heals the guy. He was lame, and doubting Thomas would say, hey, man, he actually walked, you know? What would it have been like to see these miracles? What would it have been like to experience these miracles? I want to ask you, even miracles. Do you believe God still does miracles today? That our God is a God who does miracles? That when you read the Gospels, those four biographies of Jesus, there's 37, at least 37 miracles in there. You know, the blind could see, the lame could walk, the lepers were cured, the poor were fed, the dead were made alive. We have these miracles in the Scripture. And we read these in the Scripture. And then John, as he wrapped up his gospel, says this. I want you to look at that. Get your little outline out of your worship folder. You can follow along in that outline there. And John wrote this to us. Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his followers that are not written in the book. Okay? More than what we read. More than what he wrote in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then by believing, you may have life through his name. He said, God did all these miracles to who Jesus was. All right, we're going to kind of develop that as we go through this morning's message. But Jesus did many miracles. But I want to make sure it's clear and that we understand that I believe God still does that. I believe God is still in the miracle-working business. I've had miracles in my life, and I bet there's some of you who could probably raise your hand right now that could say, yes, I had God do a miracle in my life, that God did a healing or God met a need. Now, some of you have been here and haven't been here in the past to hear Ron Paris that sing up here had a miracle in his life. And God did something in him. And so I've asked Ron to come and share the miracle he experienced by God. So why don't you listen to Ron's story as Ron comes and shares.
basically what Darren once said, crossing down this way, God, called the doctor the next day. Thank you.
It'd be a miracle if I do cut short, okay? All right. Look at our verse. What'd that verse say? Many more were written so that you would believe. Isn't that what Ron was saying? Yeah. The miracles are there for us to believe. And I like what Ron was saying because for me, I want to make sure I made the point today. Talk about miracles. We talk about the physical miracles, the health miracles. Anybody? You know, we talk about the miraculous. My daughter was spinal meningitis, okay? My daughter had, they did a test and did a second test, and they show spinal meningitis and all of that going on, and yet, finally, there was no tip. It was gone after missed prayer. Calling people and say, pray, pray, pray. God does miracles. But I want to make sure you get a picture. God does financial miracles. Anybody on board with that one? God does relationship miracles. Anybody have broken? You need a miracle with a broken relationship? You know, God does miracles. That's who God is. He's in the miracle working business. And we can see that in our lives. And probably the biggest miracle, I want to make sure, and I love what Ron was saying, because I want to make sure you get the big picture here. The biggest miracle that God did and that God is involved in, for me, is my salvation. That God took a 17-year-old kid who was dumb, doing his own thing, life his way, and at 17, God sat there and said, bang, I got something better for you. I got something different for you. It was a miracle that God reached out and stepped into my world and stepped into my life and said, I'm going to do things different. Tell me, make sure you get a picture of God that it's not just a miracle when people are cured of cancer. Because what happens when they're not cured? What happens when you get that phone call and that report that you get from, it's not a good report? What happens when that letter comes in the mail? That's not what you want to hear. Yeah. What happens in that relationship that you're praying for that's broken? And you're praying and you're praying and it never seems to go anywhere. What happens when there's not a miracle? How does it all work? I want to challenge you to come back to that one miracle. That God stepped out of heaven, the world, and died on a cross that we can have eternal life. That it's not limited to the miracle of this world. The miracle is, I have a home in heaven. A place in heaven. Look at the scripture. Look at what it says. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. I am a child of God. That's the greatest miracle. I praise God for that miracle. I thank God all the time that he stepped out when I was 17 years old. I waited so long. And I thank God. And I was looking through some pictures the other day, and at my brother's funeral, I got a picture with my cousin that led me to the Lord. And I seen that picture again, and I'm so thankful for her having the courage to tell me the good news of Jesus Christ. But how do we play out miracles? How do miracles happen? Is there a formula? You know, is there a specific prayer? You've got to have sincerity of prayer. Is there a high quality of faith? You know, what is it that makes miracles? What is it that makes miracles work? And how do they happen? And so I want to begin. If you're looking at your outline, I put it this way. The healing ministry of Jesus Christ. What's it like? So how did Jesus do it? So here's the first thing I want you to look at. When Jesus did miracles, it was very personal. It was one-on-one with Jesus. It was an encounter with Jesus. There was a presence of God in the presence of Jesus. It was a very personal experience. And not only was it his presence, but it was also personal with the way he did it. You know, what's interesting is you read the scriptures. Jesus did miracles, but he did them in several different ways. There's no one cookie cutter shape of a miracle. Look at this one that says here. And Jesus stretched out and then touched him. Let me kind of give you, this is a guy with leprosy, okay? Now, if you're not familiar with what leprosy is, your skin just falls off the bone and you begin to lose parts of your body. Usually your fingers, it turns white and it's very contagious. And they would never touch anybody. They had to stay away. They had to walk the other side of the street saying, I'm contaminated, I'm contaminated. And so this is the first time this guy has probably been touched in years. But I want you to see that. And he reached out and touched him saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for proof. Jesus healed him and said, don't tell anyone. You go tell the priest, like go to the doctor so he can say you're clean, and then you can go on in life, make your offering. He's saying, It's clean. But I want you to see, you know, he touched him. There's miracles where Jesus touched. There's miracle where Jesus spit into the ground and made mud and put it on somebody's eyes. We're going to read one later. I'm going, I don't know if I like that when Jesus spit in the guy's eye. I don't know if I was spitting in my eye. You know? There's some that Jesus just spoke words. Stand, walk. There's one where Jesus told the centurion who came and said, I got a servant that needs healing. And he says, you got greater faith. I'll just say he's healed from here, and he's healed. It's very personal. It's one-on-one with Jesus, and it's different. There's no cookie cutter. This is how miracles happen. Come, let me lay my hand on you. I would really feel funny if somebody came and said, come, I want to spit in your face and you'll be healed. It's like, yeah, I ain't going to you. There's no cookie cutter. It's very personal with Jesus. But also, not as personal, how about it's private? It was very private. It was one-on-one. It wasn't to be a big show. Jesus didn't go around, Peter, go into town and nail on the walls, I'm coming to do miracles. He didn't go out and say, okay, you guys go in there and walk the streets and find all the people that need healing and bring them and I'll be all healed. It was a private encounter. It was those private things that were happening in people's lives. It was one-on-one, secluded. And often, as you read this last one we just read, he says, go and tell no one. He says to this guy. And then he came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man who begged him to touch him. So he wanted to touch. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. He had spit in his eyes. Now, it didn't sound too pleasing to me. And laid his hands on him. He asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, I see people, but they're like trees walking. Then Jesus said, his hands on him again. And he opened his eyes. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. And he sent him home to his own home, saying, do not even enter the village. It wasn't a show Jesus was putting on. It wasn't a gimmick was having. It wasn't come and watch me do all of this. He did this in a private manner. Yes, everybody could see it. Yes, everybody was aware of it. But it wasn't for that honor. It wasn't for glory. It wasn't for look at me. It was for the need that needed to be met. It was very private in what was said and what was going on. How about this next one I put down here? He was passionate. When Jesus did miracles, it was personal, it was private, and he was very passionate about it. Look at what it says. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. There was a love in Jesus' heart for people. There was a care and a concern for people. And so when Jesus did these miracles, there was something going on in him. It was something in his heart that beat when he did these miracles. There was some compassion and some care and love that flowed out of him that he wanted to do these miracles. You can read the scriptures when he came to Lazarus' tomb. We're going to look at Lazarus in a little while. As he approached the tomb, it says he wept. Even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead and Lazarus was going to live again, he wept. These were very personal, very private, very passionate moments in Jesus' life that he did these miracles. And the last one I put down, as you look at the miracles of Jesus, they were all done with a purpose. There was always a focus. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. He didn't heal for people to be made whole. Listen to me. Jesus did not do the miracle so somebody would be whole. He did the miracle so that someone would know that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to give his life, to die for our sins, to rise from the grave, that we can have eternal life. That's why he did miracles. When we look at the miracles of God, and this is the thing to remember, they were the purpose not to be made whole, not to be for a show, but to give God the glory and the and acknowledge God and who God was. Look at what it says here. This man came to Jesus by night. Now, just so you want to know, this guy's name's Nicodemus. I'll give you a little hint. This is a guy named Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus by night. Didn't want anybody to see him. Didn't want anybody to know he's checking Jesus out. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these that you do unless God is with them. The miracles were done so that the world will know who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of the living God. And they were done for that. They were done for his glory. Look at this next verse. And when Jesus heard it said, this illness, I'll just kind of give you the text. This is Lazarus raising from the dead. They come and tell Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dying. He's going to die. You need to get there and well into healing. They didn't think he would raise him from the dead. They were worried about getting him healed. He said, I'm going to let him, really what he's saying, I'm going to let him die. But listen what he says. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. See, miracles are to bring glory to God, to bring praise to God. Now, I laid this foundation here. It's personal, it's private, it's passionate, and it's full. That's four, right? Did I say them right? All right, he got those four things. Now we look at miracles today. Anybody ever turn the TV on and see miracle workers? Anybody? Anybody see miracle workers today? It was funny. I went to Oklahoma several years ago doing some genealogy. And I found paperwork from my great-grandmother. All right? Great-grandmother. 1951. I got the letter that came in. Here's a letter. I'm not going to tell you who it's from. But here's a letter that says, I'm praying for you. I'm sending you this piece of plain handkerchief to lay on your sickness. You got a headache, put it on your head. There's a pain in your leg, lay it on your leg. Here's this letter that this guy sent her with it, this envelope, probably had a handkerchief in it. It's gone, because you know what the letter says? After you use a handkerchief, burn it. There was these healers. Now, how does this fit with what God says? How does this fit with how Jesus did his miracles? So I give you three things that they have problems with today if we look at miracle workers today. The first one I'm going to call sensationalist. Now, I don't see this much anymore. The more I talk, the more I feel like, you know, I'm getting older, okay? Because I remember people coming and putting tents up and having healing service. Anybody remember that? I mean, come on, some of you got to remember that. Now, don't reach out. It doesn't mean you're old. It just means we remember well. All right. Then these faith healers would come. They'd prop their tents up. They would say, hit the sawdust trail. Anybody, come on now. And we're going to have this big old healing service. And this guy comes in and he's going to do all this healing service. It was funny as I read this guy that wrote this letter. He was talking about don't go to the doctors. God's going to heal. Da, 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 da. Had all this stuff in it. When he got older, guess where he went? To the doctor. I remember one of the other faith healers. My grandma supported this other faith healer. I'm not going to tell you who he is again. Started part of this other faith healer. Talking about faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. This sensationalist. You know? It's all. And yet he builds a medical school. I find these things funny. I don't know about you, but maybe my sarcasm is a little. But there's this, they flash and dash. You're in here. We're here. Boom, boom, boom. And they make this flash and dash. It's here for the sensationalist. Was that Jesus? Jesus ride into town. Doing these sensational things. How about this? I put these confessionalists. Now, I've heard this one the most today. This is the one I don't see too much of the sensationalist today, but I hear more of the confessionalist today. The confessionalist goes, you just got to have faith. If you're not getting healed, it's your fault. You just don't have the faith. I'm going to ask you, did Jesus ever question anybody's faith in any of his miracles? Matter of fact, the guy that was laid down with leprosy in front of him when they tore the roof off the house, I would like to have seen that one. You know, they lower that guy in front of him. He said, their faith, nothing about his faith is what brought healing for him. Had nothing to do with his faith. See, that's the one that scares me the most as a pastor. When somebody's feeling guilty, well, I prayed and prayed and I got faith and I'm not being healed. It must be something wrong with me. That's wrong. It's not a matter of how much faith you have. The Bible says a mustard seed is all the faith you need. Isn't that what the Bible says? Anybody on board with me there? That we have these out there that they want to measure. If you just have the faith, if you just have the faith. You know, that's a presumption there too. You know what the presumption is? That God wants everybody well. We'll talk about that as we go through the message. How about this last one? This is going to be a big word, dispensationalist. Anybody? Don't you like that word? That basically means there's time frames, a dispensation, a time frame. And miracles were a thing of the past. There was a time when miracles happened. When Jesus lived, There was a time when miracles happened, but that's a thing of the past. Miracles have ceased. Well, I don't believe that one. I think God still works miracles. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you've seen great miracles, you're going to see even greater miracles. Isn't that what Jesus says? And so we see these issues. So how does it all work? How does healing take place? How do miracles say? There's no formula. Jesus did it in many different ways. You know, hey, just go down and bathe in the river. Hey, here's some mud in your eye. He did it in many. How does it happen? How do miracles happen? How do we see this? So I'm going to give you three quick things. I'm going to summarize it at the end. Here's just three quick things. First of all, God heals through the natural. God created our bodies. When God made us and formed us and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, he made these bodies to heal themselves. Anybody here ever break a bone? Anybody? You know what? Now, you might need to set it right. My brother didn't set his right. My brother had a crooked arm. He'd raise his arm like this if it was going like this. But doesn't it heal itself? Anybody ever cut your finger? Anybody ever cut your finger? Does it heal itself? Anybody ever stub your little toe? Does it hurt? Does it heal itself? See, God created our bodies, and there's a natural healing process in our bodies. I went to the doctor, and I had a cold. The doctor wanted to give me medicine. She, you know, here, take, you know, do you want some medicine? Do you want this? Do you want that? I don't want anything. Just take care of myself, drink plenty of fluids, rest, and I'll get. I don't like taking medicine because my body is going to what? It's going to heal itself. It's natural. There's natural things going on that the body's going to take care of itself. And we need to see that God heals. When he made us, he made these bodies to heal themselves. All right? I'm going to talk a little bit more about some other things in a minute, but just understand they do heal themselves. Second thing I put down here is God heals through the medical community. Now, I believe in doctors. All right? I believe in going and seeing a doctor. I believe doctors, because here's my belief. I believe doctors give knowledge and skills to doctors and nurses and those in the medical field. I believe that. Because I believe all knowledge is from God. That's my picture of God. And I believe all things are possible with God. And so I believe those in the medical, I believe those who do with medicines. I take a little blood pill. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. But I take a little blood pressure. I take a little medicine. Because see, I think God gives them knowledge and skills. I go see people in the hospital, and when I'm praying, I always thank God for the doctors and the staffs and those that are there at the hospital that are caring for them. Because see, God uses the medicines to bring healing. I'm just going to sit here and let God heal me. I had an uncle. That's what his belief. The child died. He spent time in jail. I think that's wrong. If you're sick, go see a doctor. God created them. God gave them knowledge. He gave them some abilities and some skills. He's created all sorts of tools. Ram was talking about all sorts of medicines, MRIs and CAT scans. And you know, I'm afraid to take a CAT scan. They might not find a brain in me. I don't know. You know, I have all these things, and I believe all that come from God. You need to know that. I believe God give us that knowledge to create those things. Because that's God. See, I believe God still does miracles. It could be natural. It can be through the medical field. But I also believe God does things supernaturally. I do. I believe God does things supernaturally. I think there's times, as you heard Ron tell his story, when God steps into our life and God steps into the taste in your world and does something that you need done supernaturally. I believe that God. And I want to make sure, I love Ron's testimony, because I want to make sure you get the picture. I'm not just talking about the physical. I think there's emotional things. I'm going to talk about that. I think there's financial things. I think there's broken relationships that God needs to step into our world and make happen. Because if God doesn't step there, there's some relationship that's never going to be healed unless God steps in. Anybody on board with that one? And see, I believe all of that. So God does step in to our world. But let me say three things real quick here. First kind of sickness is physical. I got bad news for you. You're going to die. All right? Today's a good day to talk about it. At least April's a good time to talk, because there's two things you're going to have to face in America. Death and, you guys know it. You had to pay it yesterday, the 50th. Can you pay Monday? I can't pay it. I think you can. Monday? Yeah, they gave you a couple of days reprieve. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the end, you don't get any reprieve from death. It's coming. 100% of us are going to die unless Jesus comes again, okay? You know, that's just the way it is. We're going to die, 100% of us. What's good for this is, let me tell you something. God brought a cure for that. God cured that. You know what? When I preach a funeral, here's my belief now. They're not dead, just not here. That's it. Look at what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I might not have read it exactly right because I read King James. I've memorized that one. You know? God cured that. All right? I'm going to live. I'm going to leave this world someday, but I'm going to heaven because I'm a good guy. And I'm a preacher. That doesn't fly, does it? Didn't get even past you guys, much less past God. Yeah. I'm going to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ died for my sins and paid the price. Because see, sin has that price. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Anybody on board? See, God's going to cure that physical death. There's a place called heaven, and it's real. And God cured that. He does that for us. The second kind of sickness I put down here is emotional. Now, this is the greatest battle for me. Anybody? That's the struggle. Those emotional battles, that those financial stress, those relationship issues, those times in life that just, that job struggle, whatever it is, that just beats you up, that just weighs you down. And so it's just there. And so there's those emotional battles. David experienced it. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. David, the great king. You know, it's real fun. You read the New Testament. You read this guy named David. He's the king of Israel, the greatest king of Israel. And it says he was a man after God's own heart. That's fun to read. Then you turn back to the Old Testament. You get all the way back there into the kings. You find out this guy that was after God's own heart committed adultery. Not only did he commit adultery, he murdered her husband because she got pregnant. That doesn't sound like a man after God's own heart to me, because he wasn't at that point. And it began to eat away at him. It began to eat away at him. And look at what he says here. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, my hand was heavy upon me. Your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. He's saying, all that emotional baggage in my life is killing me. Anybody? Anybody get emotional baggage that just weighs on you? You can't sleep at night. You struggle during the day. And it's just all this stuff. Can God cure that? Can God step in the middle of your life? Remember, I was talking about some of those financial things in his businesses and stuff. Can God do that? Yeah. God steps in. God works. Look at what it says. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You go to God, and he steps into your life. Do we see that in our lives? The next one I put down here, it's third kind of sickness, is spiritual. Spiritual. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things don't happen. That report comes that's not good. Person you prayed for and you prayed for ends up dying. That financial burden just crushes you. Sometimes it happens. Has nothing to do with your faith. Has nothing to do with anything. I want to look at Paul's story. Now, Paul is a guy in the Bible that wrote most of the New Testament, just in case you didn't know who he was. He's called an apostle of Paul. And Paul had some kind of disease. We don't know what it is. When I was in school, we thought it might have been some kind of an eye disease, because he talks about he can't write and he can't see well. But we really don't know what it is. Listen to what he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, it's for God's glory. He says, I've got this and I'm going through this. I hate it. I don't want it. I've asked God to take it away. Not once, not twice, three times. I've begged God to take it away. It's still here. It's still weighing on. But God says he's going to walk with me through it. Think about it. See, that's the one thing I can tell you. If you don't get a miracle, I tell you who's walking with you. God. You get it? You know, it might not evaporate. It might not disappear, but God is walking with you. There was a lady in our church, a woman I truly loved and shared and journeyed with many times. It's Mary Bruner. Anybody remember Mary Bruner? Mary Bruner, wonderful lady, did our children, taught our children, awesome, loved the kids, passionate for the kids. Mary had lung cancer. We prayed. I prayed for her to be healed. I think a lot of us did. But she didn't get healed, and she passed away. But the one thing that was noticeable about her through the whole process, she was always positive. She was always smiling. She'd be walking with this tank behind her. We'd go down to Fresno to see her. We're going to go out. Taco Bell. She liked Taco Bell. And so I'd go down there. Her, Ken, and I, and Laura, we'd get in the car, and we'd drive down there. She'd dink her air, put it in the car, and get out and put it out. And we'd walk over to Taco Bell. Always positive. And God, we pleaded, and God, we prayed, but the answer didn't come we wanted. But she glorified God all the way to the end. See, sometimes there's spiritual things going on we don't understand. And sometimes it doesn't end the way we want it to end. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it to go. But the one thing I know is God is with me. God will never leave me nor forsake me. That God is always there. And see, that's what the picture I want you to have. So what should you do? What are you going to do? How does this play out? Look at what the scripture says here. I'm going to kind of go with this right here and kind of wrap it up here. Ron quoted the scripture, and I want to kind of paint the scripture with this. It's real simple. If anyone among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church. Get the picture. Call the elders and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I want you to see that picture here of what he's saying. When you're not doing well, when life is beating you up, when you need a miracle, where should you go? To God. Find God. Where does it say? Let them go to the church. Whoa. You know where the healing takes place? Church. What did Ron say? Where did Ron go? The church. What do I ask you to fill out at the end of the service every week, week in and week out? Do I ask if I can pray for you? Anybody? You know, fill out that yellow card, blue card, green card, whatever color happens to be that Sunday. Preach Rainbow Sunday because I got scraps of them. I got some of each color. We'll have a rainbow day. Well, I don't need the church. I'm going to tell you what. You want a miracle? You need a church. Anybody? You need a place where people are going to pray for you. You need a small group with those 8, 10, 12 people who are going to pray for you. I wrote it this way. If you look at your line, your outline. Pray, ask for prayer. Pray and ask for prayer. You want a miracle. It's real simple. You go to church, and you pray, and you ask for prayer. If you're not getting a miracle, there's one person to blame. You. Are you praying? And are you asking others to pray for you? When my daughter was having that spinal meningitis, and we weren't sure what was wrong, and she's in this room crying, we could hear her through the door when they were doing the spinal tap on her, on a little six-month-old baby, breaking mama's heart. Dad's standing next to mom, trying to comfort mom. You know, of course, I was a basket case too. But we're calling all our family and all our friends and the people. Call the church and call the people and get them praying. And then when it comes back clear, guess what? Will you pray? Will you pray? See, I want to challenge you. Miracles happen. God will step into our world. Sometimes it's not the way we want. Sometimes it's not going to be the answer we desire. Paul didn't get what he wants. I don't want to do this. I don't want this. I want this to go away. Just make it disappear. That's kind of my prayer sometimes. God, just make it disappear. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God does. But the one consistent thing is, God is always there. God is always there. And I want to end with this verse because I think this says it all. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. If you want an abundant life, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, you want an abundant life, you come to Jesus Christ. The world will still kill and destroy you. Anybody? That God has come to give you a peace that passes all understanding, to give you a joy that never ends, and to walk with you no matter what happens. I've been a Christian so long now, I can't imagine what it'd be like walking through the world without God. I do not understand how people live without God. I really don't. I do not comprehend how somebody goes through life without God. I'm just so used to God. So I want to challenge you. If you need a miracle, pray. And ask others to pray. That walk with God. Because that's His desire for you. Sometimes that miracle doesn't come because He's drawing you close. Let's pray. Thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a merciful and gracious God. You don't do miracles because of our faith. You don't do miracles because of our goodness. You don't do miracles because we're right. You do miracles because you're God. That you step into our life when you decide, not when we. That whether it's good or bad, you're walking with us. You know, as we're praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you need a miracle. Maybe there's a financial, maybe there's a physical issue. Maybe there's a broken relationship that needs a miracle. Maybe there's a job struggle. I don't know what it is in your life, but maybe you need a miracle. And you want me to pray for you right now. Would you just shoot your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen those hands. Their hearts. They represent lives. And Lord, they need a touch from you. I pray for a miracle, whatever it may be, wherever it is in their life, Lord, whatever they need, I ask you to touch that hurt, that pain, that situation, that circumstance, that you will reach down and enter this time and space in their life, Lord. That, Lord, some way reveal yourself that you're walking with them, that you haven't abandoned them. That if you say yes to the miracle, glorify and praise your name and shout the name of heaven because of who you are. That if we walk through the trials and walk through the struggles, we'll still walk with you in the peace that you are God. For it's in your Son's name that we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.